Good morning into the 8 o'clock
Mike,
hour.
Wow.
Yes, that guy got me fired up. Rockets won by three.
This is the problem, John. There's this perception that somehow if you can't beat the Warriors, then everything about you must be trash and you got to get rid of everybody. So, like, nobody ever has a... Fine, trade away James Harden, then what exactly is your plan for beating the Warriors with Kevin Durant? That somehow being 2-2 versus the Warriors in a championship series is evidence that James Harden has to go. I don't get it. I don't, for the life of me, get it. Everything's darkness now. I'm like, everything.
Jason brought the mood down.
I can't taste my food. My will to go on has really almost left me. At some point, I don't know what's going on. Maybe I've made fun of Johnny Manziel too much in my life, and now I myself have been afflicted with some kind of...
affluenza.
I don't know. I feel, yeah, maybe I have affluenza.
I don't think you're an affluenza kind of guy.
You grew up on a farm. Affluenza?
You grew up on a farm. You're not an affluenza kind of guy.
I grew up poor, then rich for a little bit, then poor again. Then rich for a little bit, and then poor again.
Is there anything
worse?
And
then ultimately rich.
See, kids cannot relate to this now. We're going to get to John's questions in a moment. Is there anything worse? This is my era here, where we had cable, where we didn't have cable. Then we had cable, then we didn't have cable. There's nothing worse than the having cable and then not having cable. Then you feel like you're back to the Stone Age.
I'll quote Cameron Diaz from the latest reprisal of Annie. It's like, once you taste that thing and then you don't have that thing, all you can taste is not that thing.
Yes, that's 100%.
It's one of the best Cameron Diaz lines ever uttered.
All right, love.
John, were you like, what would you classify yourself? Were you poor? Were you middle class? What were you growing up? Were you the rich kid in town?
We lived in a 2-bedroom, 1-bath house.
With how many kids?
2 brothers.
So you shared a bedroom with your brother.
1 bath.
We were lucky if we got money in school to get an ice cream.
Oh really? Okay. So do you mind me asking, like, what your dad did?
He worked for the government.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So you had a living. You weren't going to bed hungry.
Most money ever made was $36,000.
Well, wow. But back then that was like $473,000 a year, wasn't it?
I wish.
It was a government grift right there.
I wish.
All right. Let's see. Let's start with this. John, have you groomed anybody to be the man at the Chronicle and the go-to guy at 6'10" after you retire, or have you pulled a Ben Roethlisberger?
Nope. I haven't thought about it. My wife says she's not going to let me retire anytime soon. So unless they put me out to pasture, I'll be around another 5 years at least.
You've got to launch this TX Sports Nation, which I plunked down my money for last night.
Thank you very much. $29.95 a year for everything you get on there. You can't get anywhere else in the Chronicle or on our website.
You know, Philip Roth, the novelist, just passed away, and he was kicking out a book a year until he was 85 years old. I think that's the way to go, man. He just kept writing. He kept plugging away. He probably would have died when he was 60 if he hadn't. A weird old dude right there.
John, is pressure mounting on the Texans due to the success of the Astros and Rockets? They are currently the odd man out.
While the Texans appreciate what the Astros did winning the World Series and where the Rockets are right now with a chance to win their third NBA championship, there'll be a lot of talk about it. We'll be writing a lot, talking about it, but they feel pressure anyway. It has nothing to do with what's happened with other teams.
Let's go to the phones here real quick. Let's go to Mike on Mad Radio. Mike, good morning. What's your question for John McClain?
Good morning, John. I have a question regarding the new helmet law rule. There's an article in Pro Football Talk that states that the three-point stance is going to be going away because of the new helmet rule. What's your opinion on that?
I saw that. I think it's very unfair for linemen. If that's the case, then it'd be like college football where you're in three-point stance all the time. And the idea is you have to come up. You got to get your head up. You know, they're trying to reduce concussions. I don't know how many they've ascertained happen in collisions in the offensive and defensive lines or with the guards blocking the tackles or whoever. But early on, that just is so, I think, unfair to them. I think we're going to see a lot of early penalties until they learn to adjust.
You know what's interesting, John, is that I can remember this same reaction from people after they instituted the rule where running backs weren't allowed to lower their heads outside of the tackle box.
We all have reacted to that.
And I've seen that called maybe once in that first year. I don't know how many total times it's been called. But I think if they've set a precedent, it's shown that they've got a rule on the books, and how they end up enforcing it is way open to interpretation. I think you're going to see this enforced in the most egregious circumstances, and it'll be a source of controversy, I'm sure. But does your gut tell you that you're not going to see it nearly as much as people are fearing?
The problem now, Seth, is they are paranoid about concussions. You know, yep. If you don't do something, you're going to lose more money.
Yeah.
Concussion is all about how much money they're going to lose. So I think that the officials will be overcautious about it because the league's going to put the hammer down on them. And I think it's like Ted Johnson made his whole career. He's pointed out using his helmet to hit guards when he would collide with them. And so
still uses his helmet pretty effectively.
I don't know how it's going to work out. You know, the targeting thing that they said they looked at 40,000 plays and they only saw three that were egregious enough where players would have been kicked out. But it just depends on how the officials want to call it. Will some crews be tougher than others?
Yeah.
As they are on other penalties, I'm sure they will. But I feel bad. It's hard enough right now for linemen to block great, quick pass rushers. And now on run plays, I don't know what you're going to do.
John, what's the better show, MASH or Cheers?
Boy.
Got to be MASH.
MASH had a great movie that kicked it off. So I'm going to say MASH when its last episode is still the highest rated show in television history. And so I would say MASH.
I'd say MASH is like more, MASH is a deeper show. Like MASH had more dramatic qualities to it, where Cheers was just pure sitcom. They tried to have like the very special Cheers every now and then. But it wasn't like it's a bunch of drunks. Like back when, you know what, back when there was honor in being a drunk. Back before everybody got all preachy about it.
Yes.
You know, like, oh, we could laugh about somebody neglecting their family to go to the bar. Now you got to be like, oh, I'm a family man.
John, I'm sorry. I keep laughing because we have random funny texts. Like someone texted in that if Harden was actually a 16-year-old girl, that people would be afraid to go near him on the basketball court. Tab asked, John, is Texas running back...
Except for Dwight. If it was 16, not 6, 16.
Oh, boy. Oh boy. Moving on. Is Deontay Foreman,
good
John,
going
to be ready to play week one?
Dwight like to hang out with teenagers. There have been pictures of it. What?
No comment.
What? That's not even anything. Well, you guys are reading into it. Jeez.
I'm issuing a no comment.
Deontay Foreman's supposed to be ready to start a training camp, according to Bill O'Brien. I think they'll take it easy on him. There's no reason for him to come back and go full speed. He's 2 months away, but right now he's not ready. But all accounts are he'll be 100% before the first game.
Oh, John, how much of a drinker are you?
I'll drink some red wine if I'm out with friends. Every once in a while, I'll drink a beer. Never drink at home.
You never drink at home?
No.
Never. That's a good policy there. Hmm. I remember when I was first done playing football, it was that's when I realized, I've told you, Mike, that's when I realized I had to keep working.
Cut down on that?
The bar keeps moving forward, and John, this is why you should never. I was never a big drinker when I was playing, but then all of a sudden I was done playing, and I was like, well, it's 11:30 a.m., it's a beautiful day, why not have 7 gin and tonics? And then gradually that number kept moving forward, because when I'm like, oh, I got it. Golf isn't until 9 a.m., mm-hmm. Might as well start now. I can't be trusted. I cannot be trusted, so I work.
Let's try one more on the phone, 713-572-4610. We'll go to Garish on Mad Radio. Garish, good morning. What's your question for John McClain?
Good morning, guys. Great game last night. Quick question on post-game show I saw on ESPN, where Paul and Harden were, interviewed by the media and all that. And at the end of the talk, Paul was trying to help Harden by just helping his mic off. And Harden just pushed his hand away and said something like, get away from me or something. I'm not sure what I saw was there some animosity between those two guys, or was it just a friendly thing, or I don't know if you guys saw it. Anybody see it? Just I don't know what to see.
Nice. Like a couple of 16-year-old girls.
I was watching TNT. I didn't see ESPN. Those guys are good friends. I'm guessing they were kidding around.
They were
I don't
playfully,
know since I didn't see it.
For the record, I didn't see it either, but also there's a clip that's gone viral. I think it was the Utah series where Harden and Paul kind of got into it And I think not in a bad way. Where Harden also did the same. He kind of pushed away his hand when they had a sort of a heated discussion, if you will.
Oh, yeah,
I like that.
Right.
I mean, that's obviously different than the postgame. I do think those guys have a pretty good relationship without obviously being one of those two guys and really being in the locker room and knowing.
And they're pretty playful about that afterwards. Like, they have those little exchanges from time to time, playfully. So I'm guessing from your description of it that sounded like a playful exchange. The one that I love is the one where, because it was actually Harden showing some humor, but it got played by conspiracy theorists to a ridiculous degree, was when McHale and Harden were talking to each other, and as they're walking away from each other, McHale kind of gives them like a little backhanded slap on the arm, just... Yeah. Like, it looked like encouragement more than anything, and Harden looks back and looks injured, which was funny as hell. But some people actually read into that, look at Harden. He hates McHale. They might have actually hated each other, but you can still find humor in it.
What are the NFL owners doing that is stupid yet again? Plus, there was one noteworthy item from Texans OTAs involving one of the five best players in this team that I think came as a surprise, and I want to know if it came as a surprise to John McClain. That's next. Matt Takes coming up at 8:40.